Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. Hey, it's summertime, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. Long, warm days and short, warm nights. You'd be surprised how many people think it's hotter now because Earth is closer to the sun. Nope, that's not it. In fact, on July 3rd, our little planet will be its farthest away, just over 94.5 million miles, not the average of 93 million. The reason it's hot right now is that the northern hemisphere is tipped toward the sun, and that means Earth's bottom half is tipped away from the sun. So right now, it's midwinter in Australia. True darkness is fleeting in summertime, especially at higher latitudes. Here in the Boston area, for example, the last bit of twilight lingers in the west until about 10:30, leaving less than 5 hours of complete darkness to revel in the star-spangled night before dawn begins to creep up in the east. So let's make the most of the darkness we have. The month opens with a first quarter moon lighting up the evening sky. Full moon falls on July 9th, and new moon on the 23rd. By month's end, a lovely lunar crescent returns to the evening sky. That sky features a pair of planetary bookends that frame the starry background. Go out around 9 p.m., a little later in early July, and a little sooner at month's end, and look toward south. If you're not sure which way south is where you live, watch where the sun sets and make a generous turn to the left. As you look south, you'll see two very bright sparklers positioned far apart. The one on the right, over in the southwest, is Jupiter. The king of planets has dominated the evening sky for several months, but its location over in the west, creeping toward the sunset point, means that its reign is slowly coming to an end. By late September, it'll be swallowed up by bright twilight over in the west. Complementing Jupiter, and well to the left of due south, is Saturn, our solar system's second largest planet. In contrast to Jupiter's slow disappearing act, Saturn is ascending in the evening sky. It was at what astronomers call opposition, directly opposite the sun in the sky, back in mid-June. And ever since, this beautiful planet has inched a little higher in the sky at sunset each night. Now, you know Saturn is surrounded by a beautiful set of rings, but did you know that those rings affect how bright Saturn looks to the eye? This planet is tipped about 27 degrees with respect to its orbit, very much like Earth's 23 degrees. And Saturn takes 29.5 years to go around the sun, during which time it goes through a cycle of seasons. It turns out that, right now, Saturn is tipped toward us at maximum, and the rings look as wide open as possible. Since the ring particles are almost 100% ice, they reflect nearly 100% of the sunlight striking them, so the rings make Saturn appear extra bright. With Jupiter and Saturn as our benchmarks, let's do some celestial sightseeing. To Saturn's lower right, by about the width of your clenched fist at arm's length, is the star Antares. Its reddish color is strikingly similar to the planet Mars, and that resemblance gives the star its name. Antares means, literally, rival of Aries, which is the Greek name for Mars. Antares seems to have an even deeper hue because we see it low in the sky, where the atmosphere reddens it, just as dense air low down reddens the setting sun. Perhaps more than in any other constellation, the stars of Scorpius really do look like their namesake. Let's trace out that shape, and here's where having a clear southern view becomes important. Antares is the heart of our Scorpion, and close by, to its upper right and lower left, are two medium bright stars representing its body. Less than one fist to the upper right of Antares are three stars marking the Scorpion's head. To their right are the stars of Libra, the balance scales, but in ancient times these stars were perceived as the critter's claws. Trailing from Antares to the lower left is a curving string of stars that form the Scorpion's tail, and finishing up with a pair of stars at the stinger's end. These two are sometimes called the cat's eyes by amateur astronomers. The farther south you live in North America or Europe, the easier it is to see the whole tail and stinger. Scorpius also harbors one of the few star clusters that can be seen easily without binoculars or a telescope. It's just to the left of the stinger, spaced by about the width of your three middle fingers. This star cluster is the seventh entry in the catalog of 18th century French astronomer Charles Messier, so it's usually called Messier 7 or M7. But the ancient Greek astronomer Claudius Ptolemy had cataloged it 1600 years before Messier did, describing it as a cloudy star behind the sting of the scorpion. So it's sometimes known as Ptolemy's cluster. You might have trouble seeing M7 if your skies are awash with light pollution or summer haze, but binoculars should show it with ease and resolve it into a swarm of individual stars. Return your gaze to Saturn, and this time look about one fist to its lower left. This puts you in the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer. Most sky watchers don't see someone slinging arrows here. Instead, look for a grouping of medium bright stars about the size of your clenched fist that trace out the shape of a teapot. The best time for seeing this is around midnight when the teapot is due south and highest in the sky. Anyway, it's tipped toward the right as if pouring into Scorpius, with its spout at lower right and its handle at upper left. Now, just above the handle, by about half a fist, are three stars in a flat triangle that sky watchers call the teaspoon. Its handle is marked by two dim stars a little to the upper left. Although it's completely invisible to your eyes, Pluto is perched just below that starry teaspoon, some 3 billion miles away. Wow. Now let's swing over to Jupiter. To its left, about one fist away, is a bright solitary beacon with an icy white color. That's Spica, or more properly, Spica, the anchor star for the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. She's lying sideways in the sky, with her head toward the right and her legs toward left. Spica is Latin for ear of grain, and Virgo is often depicted holding stalks of grain in her hand. High above Virgo is dazzling Arcturus, the alpha star for the kite-shaped constellation Bootes, which means herdsman or plowman. Arcturus, which marks the kite's tail, is the fourth brightest star in the nighttime sky. That's mostly because it's relatively close by, only 37 light-years away. Arcturus means guardian of the bear, and it's so called because it's not far from Ursa Major, the big bear, farther to the north. One more thing. If you should happen to be an early riser, and for me here in Boston that means being up around 4 a.m., you'll get a great view of dazzling Venus low in the eastern sky. If you live farther south, say in Atlanta, you can sleep in until 5 or 5:30 before crawling out of bed to see Venus. Next month, we'll look for steam coming from the teapot and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.